We started a series a couple of weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago, called Surrender. We have today, and then next week is our last Sunday on this series. And so we're going to talk about today. If you'll remember the very first Sunday, and I'm sure you do because you remember all of my messages, right? Now, anyway, and I know you don't, but I don't either. So anyway, so here's the thing is that we talked a couple of weeks ago about, it's called there. In other words, any place that God is leading us in. It doesn't necessarily have to be geographical. There could be a place geographically that he takes us to, but it may not be that. It could be, you know, a mindset. It could be the way that we deal with each other. It could be just in turning loose of something, that any place that God is leading us. And so the first thing we looked at on the first week was that wherever he leads us, that place there is a place of provision. That when he gives us vision, not only does he give us vision, but he gives us provision. It's a place that he takes care of us in that. And then last week we looked at Saul whenever he was on the road to Damascus and he had letters to arrest Christians and he had this encounter with Jesus and Jesus, he begins to deal with him. You would think, you know, in my mind, I would think, well, Jesus is already talking to him. Why didn't he just tell him everything? But he didn't do that. He said, look, Saul, you need to go to this place and it's going to be told you there. You're going to receive instruction or direction. So there is also a place that God directs us and instructs us that, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't know what the Lord's telling me to do. Well, you know, is there something that you're holding back, staying away, you know, grabbing a hold of, withdrawing from? You need to lean into his leading because that place is not just the place that he provides for us, but it's also the place that he reveals to us. And so today we want to talk about surrender, that there is a place of surrender. So if you would open up your Bibles to Jonah, Chapter 1, if you're still learning your way around the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, and Jonah is in the Old Testament. And so it's pretty deep in the Old Testament. It's after Psalms and Proverbs, several books past that. And so Jonah, I believe, is a historical account. I don't think it's an allegory or a parable or anything like that. I believe it was about a real man that lived during a period of time that God was dealing with, and he stepped away from the leading of God. And we even have Jonah's name mentioned in other places other than this book that's written about him and this particular season in his life. So in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, the Lord, everybody say the Lord. So in other words, what I want you to see is that he's getting ready to get instruction that is specifically from God. In other words, that this is God speaking to him. And so it says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Now listen to this again. He got up and went in the opposite direction. Went in the opposite direction to get away from it. To get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. So we have Jonah, he gets this instruction, this direction is clearly from the Lord. And then this is his response, is that he basically said no. Now we'll find out later, people are like, why would Jonah say no? You know, and all of the time, I think all of us have had those moments in our life, that instance, that moment, that season, that we've been resistant to whatever God is dealing with us to do. Man, I know I have. We've had that moment, and the truth of the matter is we have so many different reasons, and really when you look at the study of Jonah, it seems like that the people that God had called him to go to were people that had persecuted his people. Matter of fact, it doesn't say this, but I wouldn't be surprised if part of the persecution, maybe even his own family, had experienced it. And Jonah was concerned that if he gave them this message, that whatever judgment was going to come upon them, that if they repented, that God was going to pull back that judgment. And he didn't want that. He wanted them to be judged. And so he experienced this right here. And so it says this, that he went from the Lord. He got up and went in the opposite direction. Now, for him, that really was a geographical thing. In other words, he was here and he went to another place, but it wasn't just geographical. It wasn't just going in the opposite direction of the place that God had told him to go, but it was a place that it was something that took place in his heart, that he went away from what God wanted him to do. And so this is what I want you to see. This is what we have to get. Number one is this: refusing to surrender can distance us from the Lord. Like if we just read this, then we think, well, you know, he was in this place, and so then he was going to go to Tarshish. That's where he was going to go and get away from the Lord. And yes, there is that element also. But sometimes I know in my life, if I'm not careful, I think, well, if I don't do this right here, then I'm just going to stay in this neutral place. But really, my refusal to surrender to what God's telling me to do, my refusal to do that, it doesn't keep me in the same place. It begins to have this distancing effect from whatever it is that God wants me to do. And so we have to understand that surrender is so essential. It's so key. You know, maybe you look at your life and you think, you know, at one time I was here with God, and now I feel like I'm further away from him than I was before. Well, what's happened? You know, I think one of the places that we have to look, we have to examine ourselves and say, you know, what have I done with the last thing that God spoke to me about? What's taken place there? Where is it taken me to? And again, you know, I know in my own life, and I think we have some of the same challenges, that there have been times in my life where I've just kind of planted my feet, and I would never say this out loud, but my behavior declares this when I've gone, no, I'm not going to do that. And I think if we walk with the Lord long enough that we can experience it. Because here's what I know. See, for the longest time in the history of the church, that often we wouldn't hear about the goodness of God and how much the Lord loves us. And the truth of the matter is, I think the church has done better in the last century, just as time has gone on, declaring that. But I think one of the mistakes we've made is that in thinking that because the Lord loves us, that we'll never go through any hard seasons, that there'll never be any moments that, you know, that we'll have to persevere or endure things. But the reality of it is that following God and obeying what the Lord instructs us to do, man, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be what we want to do. Again, for Jonah, he didn't want to go and tell those people about what was getting ready to take place. He wanted them to hurt like he'd hurt. He wanted them to experience judgment like that his people had experienced it. And yet God was dealing with him personally. And he said, I don't want to do it. He said later on, he said, I don't want to do that because I know who you are, God. I know that you're great in mercy. So many times in our life that whenever the Lord leads us, that it's just one of these things that's a challenge. I remember several years ago in the church, there was kind of this conflict going on among a couple of leaders. And let me just say this. I learned that, like, if you and this person have conflict, that me and you can't fix it. That it's somewhere along the line that there's got to be a conversation that takes between the two people that have the issue. You say, well, how do you know that takes that? Because I tried the other way, and it became a huge stinking train wreck. Yeah, and so that's just, I wanted to emphasize that point. But the truth of the matter is, I remember during that season, I was praying, and I said, you know, Lord, I really wish you would just fix this. I wish you would set it up where you would fix this. And I had this, I call them God thoughts, where I had this thought, and I knew it wasn't me, and it didn't violate scripture. I had this God thought, and it was this thought. I was like, well, I've set it up to be fixed. And I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, like, I put you there. I want you to fix it. And I'm like, well, Lord, that's really not how I'm praying. I'm praying that you would fix it. And he goes, if you'll do what I say, it's me fixing it. But that's just the reality of it. Whenever God deals with us, that there are times that he'll ask us to do things that we don't want to do, that are either uncomfortable or they require us to turn loose of, to give up control. There's just all of these things that come into play with that. And when that takes place, if we're not careful, that in reality, that even though we can be well-meaning, well-intended, we can dig our heels in, and when we do that, that it's not like we stay in the same place with God and aren't moving forward, but in time there begins to be this distance that takes place, this thing that's happening. And so, number one is this, is that refusing to surrender can distance us from the Lord. Go to Jonah chapter 2, if you would, the next chapter over. There's something about weather on Memorial Day weekend. If you remember, we had like our first tornado in 100 years. I don't know about you, but I'm building an ark as soon as this service is over. So anyway, Jonah chapter 2, verse 7 says this. This was Jonah praying. He literally went in this fish's belly. And when you read that whole second chapter and you read about his prayer and you read about the things that were taking place there, you can tell that, I mean, his life was slipping away. And at first he talks about the things that are happening to him. He's got seaweed wrapped around him. And you can imagine all sorts of other unpleasant things in a whale's or fish's belly, whatever's taking place there. But then he begins to tell us that he's at the point of death. And so in chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. So he's dying. I remembered the Lord. Now, I don't think it was an issue of he'd forgotten about God, but I think it was one of those issues that there was a season in his life where his walk with God was different. And he'd gotten to a place of saying no, the Lord was that he allowed himself to do that. So he said, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows for my salvation. Everybody say, my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Now, what a way to end a prayer, right? In Jesus' name, amen. Blah. You know what I mean? So he was released, you know, out there. Now, you think about this, that when Jonah, when he ran from the Lord and he buys a ticket to this boat to go as far away from the Lord. You know, he thinks, the Lord wants me here. I'm going to go as far away from that as I can. Because in reality, there's no escaping the Lord's presence. Psalm 139, yeah, says that we can't run from his presence wherever we are. He's there. But he was trying to go as far away from what God had wanted him to do as possible. And so he gets on this boat, and the people that are with him, you know, there's this huge storm taking place. And finally, they're like, these sailors, they're not men that worship the true God. But they seemed to have some character, and finally they were like, why is this going on? And Jonah goes, well, it's my fault. I'm running from the Lord, and so you just need to get rid of me. Well, they worked harder trying to save themselves, and eventually they went to Jonah, and they said, hey, we're sorry, but today's not your day, buddy. And so they said to God, they said, look, don't hold us responsible. So they threw him over, and that's when the fish came and swallowed Jonah up, and he had this season, this moment, this opportunity to reconnect with God. And so, again, in his prayer that he said this, he says, my life was slipping away. I remembered the Lord. Those moments, that time, those commitments. Then the Lord, it says that then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach, and then this happened. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Everybody say second time. So I want you to see this. He didn't give up on him. I've heard this said before, and it just really resonates with me. You know that sometimes we're not in a good place. You know, the thought can come where it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit will deal with this and say, we just need to do this or whatever. And our thought can be, well, I don't deserve another chance. Hey, let me tell you something. You didn't deserve the first one. I can say, I don't deserve another chance. You know what? I didn't deserve the first one. It is the grace and mercy of God that is ongoing. The Bible describes it this way. It's new every morning. And so, you know, the Lord didn't just say, hey, look, man, you know, you're not what I want you to do. This fish is just going to swallow you. Good luck. You know, it was one of those things. No, man, as he repented, that God took him back to the place that he spoke to him. And he said this, that the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So here's what I want you to know, is that the Lord leads us back to the place of surrender. He leads us back to the last place that he spoke to us. You know, sometimes in our life we can say, well, you know, I don't know what the Lord's dealing with me about. And one of the first questions we need to ask ourselves is, well, when was the last time he spoke to you? When can you go back into your life? And when can you narrow down, hey, look, this is when God spoke to me. This is the last time that I remember him giving me clear direction. And then to ask ourselves, have I done that? Now, obedience is such a wild thing. I mean, sometimes it's obvious to everybody when I'm in obedience or when I'm in disobedience, but sometimes it's secret, right? I mean, sometimes it's those places in my life that nobody but me and the Lord know that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And so God deals with us about things. He speaks to us about things. I mean, there's so many things about this part of Jonah that is so reassuring, because can I tell you something? I've blown it. I've been disobedient to God. Sometimes I've been the guy that's planted my feet. And I wouldn't say it out loud, but in my behavior, I was saying to the Lord, no. And the Lord didn't disqualify Jonah. He didn't write him off. He spoke to him again. But he came. One of the reasons he came is because Jonah positioned his heart to hear from God. He reminded himself of the goodness of God and what God had done. And he said, look, man, I'm going to pay my vows again. I'm going to keep my promises that I made to the Lord in that season. I'm going to keep my promises on those things. And so as we look at this, we see that the Lord leads us back to the place of surrender. We don't want it to be forced surrender. We want it to be surrender where the Holy Spirit's dealing with us. We're like, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. Now, we look at this guy, and I mean, the call in his life was significant. It was to a people. And I think if we're not careful, then we measure what's taking place here and say, well, you know, God's not really dealing with me about anything that big. And yet, the truth of the matter is that it's in our everyday walk, in our everyday walk with God, as Jesus is a part of it, that the Holy Spirit deals with us and he reveals things to us that even in things that we may view as small, well, this doesn't really matter, this is kind of insignificant, that those are really the things, if we're not careful, that they'll trip us up and keep us from going further with the Lord when that's what our heart wants. And so, again, the Lord leads us back to the place of surrender. He spoke to Jonah a second time. He reminded Jonah of, this is your call. This is what I have for you. He spoke to him again. And so we see the goodness of God. And so he led him back to a place of surrender. So where are you at? Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you in that place? I mean, surrender is really not even, it's not even a position or an event. It's the way we're called to live. And again, let me tell you something. I know this, that me talking to you about it is a lot easier than me living it. I have the same struggles you do, same challenges you do, and other things get in the way sometimes, and I have to be reminded that my life is not mine, but it belongs to Jesus. And so even though God is good, that sometimes the places he takes us through, they're hard places. Sometimes the places that he leads us, they're places if we got to pick, we wouldn't go there. But as he takes us through and we surrender that, it's all in preparation and to get us to the place that he has for us, the place that he's called us to. And so that's what God was doing with Jonah here, that the Lord leads us back to the place of surrender. He took him back to that place that he left, took him back to that place. And so the Lord spoke to him a second time, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given to you. Let's look at number three and we'll close with this. The next verse, verse three of chapter three, it says, this time, everybody say this time. He didn't do it the first time, but he did it this time. And we don't know, you know, I mean, it looks like that's the one time that God dealt with Jonah, but it says this time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off the royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. So the king got up off of the throne. Now I think that was literal, but I also think it was figurative. In other words, he was saying, look, during this season, I'm not in charge, man. We're gonna follow what God wants us to do. And so they began to fast. And he said, man, you guys put on burlap. And so this is how serious they got. He said, we not only want you to fast, but we want your animals to fast. And also he said, I want you guys to wear clothing and garments of grieving and, you know, that type of thing and of repentance. And I want you to put that on your animals. Now, before some of you get real judgy about them putting that on your animals, I've seen on Facebook how some of you dress your dogs, okay? And I feel sorry for your dog. I want you to know that right now. You know, I've thought about like calling DHS and say, you know, no animal in its right mind wants to wear like, you know, a fedora or anything like that. So anyway, I'm just telling you. So, I mean, it's not hard to believe that this, and some of you are looking at your spouse like, he's talking about you. And so, but it was, that's just, it just shows how serious that king and the people were in this moment, that they received the message of God to a point that they're like, we're repenting, we're changing. And then without any promise of it, the king said, maybe God will see this and see that we're serious about it and that he'll hold back the judgment, not just that God would bring it, but their life was bringing that judgment on them. And so he goes on to say, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Here's the third thing. Our surrender impacts those around us. Our surrender impacts people around us. It impacts our family. It impacts our church. It impacts the people that are in our neighborhood, the people that we work with. There's something powerful about that. Jonah's surrender impacted the king. The king's surrender impacted the leaders around him. The leader's surrender impacted the people in the city. Now, God did exactly what Jonah was angry about, that he knew that God would forgive them, that he would withhold his judgment. He didn't want that. He wanted them judged. He wanted them to get what they deserve. You know what? I don't want to get what I deserve. And I'll say this. I don't want you to get what you deserve. Jonah begins to have a pity party. Have you ever had a pity party before? I've had pity parties. Here's the thing. When you have pity parties, don't send out invitations. You just have your pity party. Let God deal with you and talk. You know, sometimes people are like, hey, I'm having a pity party tomorrow too. Can you come and bring your friends that don't even know me? I want them to share my pity party too. But he did, man. So he sat down and this tree grew up and it provided shade for him. And then this worm devoured the tree and Jonah was so mad at God. And God's like, why are you angry? And he said, you know, I knew you were going to do this. And he was mad about the tree. And finally God said this to him. He said, look, he said, you know, you care about this tree, but he said, you don't care about these people. You didn't make the tree and you didn't make the people. And he said this, he goes, some of these people don't know their right hand from their left. And the reality of it is that, you know, some theologians have said this, what he was talking about was not just the grown-ups there, but he was talking about the kids. That he said, the judgment that you want me to bring onto them doesn't just impact the grown-ups that have hurt you, but it's also, it will impact the kids and that type of thing. And so he said this, he goes, he said, you know, that from those that know the right hand from their left, in other words, I heard one minister say this, he said, the little ones and the lost ones will be impacted by this. Because God sees all of it. And so whenever we surrender, our surrender impacts those around us. I see some of you in here, man, you've surrendered your calling to the Lord. It's changed your life. It's changed your marriage. It's changed your kids. It's changed the direction that your family, the trajectory of your family will go because you surrendered. I shared with you before that in our Forge groups that one of the questions we asked the men in there, and that is, hey man, how's your relationship with God? Because we realize this. When my relationship with God is where it's supposed to be, I'm a better husband. When my relationship with God is where it's supposed to be, I'm a better dad. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better friend. And sometimes when my marriage is not where it's supposed to be, it's because my relationship with God isn't where it's supposed to be. In other words, there's an area of surrender that's gotten into the way, and so it's taken me away. The only way I can love my wife the way that I'm supposed to is by saying surrender to God. We did that for emphasis. Our surrender impacts those around us. It changes, not just me, but it changes the people in my circle. I remember when I was in high school, going to Claremore High School, and I was a kid that went to church. You know, it was just kind of what our family did. We went to Sunday school like folks go to Monday school. But even though I did that, I would have some conversation with the Lord. But I remember as a sophomore in high school, getting into my junior year, I think the summer between my sophomore and junior year, a friend of mine went to church camp and he had a real encounter with Jesus. And he came back and he began to tell his friends about what not a religion, but a relationship with Jesus looks like. And his surrender impacted my class and changed the trajectory of my life from that moment forward. This isn't just about you. It wasn't just about Jonah. It was about all the people in Nineveh that even though they hadn't done what they were supposed to, God still loved them. He saw them. And so number three is this, is that our surrender impacts those around us. I want you to, bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. And I want us to just take a moment and you just go to that place. Psalm 91 says this, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And the secret place is the place that you're in right now. It's the conversation that only you and God know what you're talking about. And you go in that moment and you just take it all to him. And just, he may take you back to a place, maybe yesterday, maybe 5 years ago, where he asked you to do something that was just too hard. It was just, you just didn't want to do it. And your relationship with God has never been the same from that moment because you didn't surrender. And so I'm just going to be quiet for a minute and you just spend this moment with the Lord and just there secretly where only you and him know what you're talking about. Take this moment with God.